at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds.
Indeed we do. Good morning. It is 8:09. I'm Larry Long. Welcome to Birdwatch, sponsored by Waddell's Nursery, Floral Garden, and Bird Center at the corner of 12th Street and Millam Road, and by the River Lake Inn located near Colon. And now let's welcome your host for Birdwatch, Roger Taylor. Morning, Rod.
Hi, Lair. How you doing?
Darn all right.
With some exceptions, but we won't go into that.
Thanks.
In your case, some right. exceptions, yes. Welcome to Birdwatch, everybody. And as normal, we'll go right to the trivia question. And this morning's trivia question, because we are in the midst of the fall migration now, we're in well into September and approaching the middle part of September. There were a couple of nights this week that birds showed up all over weather radar because there were so many little bodies in the air, it showed up even on weather radar. And so there are multiple ways birds navigate their migration. Tell me one of them, and you get yourself a 20-pound bag of Rogers Blend. That's available exclusively at Waddell's. You get yourself a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn, and that is, if you take a friend with you, then your meal is half price. And you get a 2014 Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy calendar, truly a work of art. The calendar is printed reproductions of original paintings of Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy preserves by the Plein Air Group, a group of really talented local artists. And so the calendar itself is a work of art. So you get a 20-pound bag of Rogers Blend from Waddell's. You get a gift certificate to the River Lake Inn and a Southwest Michigan Land Conservancy calendar. And all you got to do is tell me one of the mechanisms that birds use to navigate migration. Let's go to the phones, Larry.
Let's do that. And our first caller in today was Ted in Kalamazoo. Good morning, Ted.
Well, hi, Ted. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, fat thanks. And sassy.
All right.
All right.
What's one way that birds use to... Pardon me, I'm choking up here.
Easy there, Raj. Yeah. Take a belt of your water.
Okay, I'm ready to go on, I think.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes. Tell me how they navigate.
I'm going to guess bodies of water, like rivers.
Following a river. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but what rivers?
Okay. I will declare that to be the winner. Yes, they do use visual cues, and once they've made a migration, they do remember landmarks, and the Mid-American flight path for birds, many of them follow the Mississippi River south. And birds do learn landmarks and remember what they've seen before. And so, Ted, we'll declare you to be the winner.
Yay.
Don't rush away. Good. We're going to send you back in to our pal Carolyn, and she's going to need some information from you. And then dinner for you and the birds is on us.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. Right.
Thanks, Ted. Good guess.
But that doesn't, the method that Ted mentioned,
right.
Following, looking for landmarks or following a river, that helps the second migration, but the first time birds are doing it, they use other mechanisms. And let's talk a little about them. Most bird migration takes place at night. That's for actually a number of reasons. One, flying long distances is really hard work. And it's cooler at night, and the air is more stable at night because there aren't thermals that birds encounter. And so it's cooler, and because the air is calmer, it takes less energy to fly at night. And as a result, the North Star is used by many birds in their both the North and South migration. Many birds have aligned cells in their brain that have a very high iron content. The mechanism of exactly how it works is not known exactly yet, but that gives many birds a sense of where the magnetic North Pole is. And interestingly enough, the birds who use the magnetic North Pole know instinctively that it's not true north. And so they use other navigation methods to calibrate one navigation system off another. And yeah, when next time somebody calls you bird brain, thank them, because I don't know that I could calibrate one navigation system with another to correct for, if they're using the North Pole, an easterly drift in their flight path. And when they can see the polarization of sunlight at sunrise and sunset, they will correct for using the magnetic North Pole on a cloudy night. And so there are multiple mechanisms that birds use to travel. In some birds' cases, thousands of miles. One bird that comes to mind, the American golden plover, makes the longest overwater migration of any land bird by flying straight from Alaska to the Hawaiian Islands. That requires 24 hours of nonstop flying, and it also takes some pretty good navigation, because if you're even a half a degree off as you make that trip, you miss those little dots of land out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And not only a heroic effort in just flying 24 hours nonstop, but to, while they're doing that, navigate precisely enough to find the little specks of land out there in the Pacific Ocean. Migration is really an interesting, fascinating phenomenon.
That is quite a GPS system. Now, can't they rest on a ship or something, or that's going that way? Or can't they just sit on the water?
No.
The
some birds can, mm-hmm. but the golden plover is not a swimming bird at all. They're a shorebird. They're in the shorebird family, mm-hmm. So they're associated with water, but walking along the shore, not swimming in the ocean.
True.
And that's an amazing feat in navigation, to be able to fly 24 hours toward that specific of a destination.
Well, now, when they're just soaring, you see them not flapping a wing at all, just soaring, aren't they resting then, or does that take?
Well, some birds do that.
Okay.
The raptors frequently will use mm-hmm. thermals, but that's why they avoid flying over water, because there are no thermals over water. And the hawks that migrate from North America to Central and South America mm-hmm. all have to take the land route around the Gulf of Mexico. And Veracruz, Mexico, is renowned for, in the spring and fall migration, watching thousands of hawks pass overhead. 50 to 60,000 hawks a day flying over Veracruz.
Wow.
And but they have to go around. Now, it's also, since we're talking about going around the Gulf of Mexico, many of the birds that cross the Gulf of Mexico in the spring know that hurricanes happen in the Gulf of Mexico in the fall. And we know for a fact that hummingbirds come straight north from the Yucatan Peninsula to Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia, Gulf Coast. And it is suspected that the majority of hummingbirds take the land route back to Central America because of, as a species, being aware that hurricanes happen in the fall out over the Gulf of Mexico. Summer is drawing to a close, but there's still plenty of beautiful days ahead at the River Lake Inn. For September, Chef Mark Bailey will offer two tantalizing features. The first, the very popular fresh perch. Fresh lake perch. Mmm. Succulent fillets, lightly battered and pan-fried. My wife's first choice. Second choice is the mushroom bourbon sirloin steak. As you'd guess, my choice. And mushrooms in a delicious bourbon sauce. Both features come with your choice of potato and a full salad bar. And be sure to sample one of their wonderful appetizers and Anita's delicious homemade desserts. And starting Sunday, January 5th, the River Lake Inn will offer its third annual Sunday Supper Club. 10 consecutive Sundays of interesting talks and presentations, followed by the perfect Sunday evening meal of soup and a sandwich. For details, visit riverlakeinn.com. Sign up now, because registration is limited for those Sunday Supper Club seats. Come enjoy the last days of summer and a relaxing stroll through the gardens, ponds, and nature trails with family and friends at Southwest Michigan's most tranquil restaurant setting. For details and directions, go to riverlakeinn.com or just give them a call at 432-2626. Want to add some color to your life? Flowering bulbs from Waddell's are actually some of the most colorful, fail-proof blooms available. I should record these. You know it, Larry.
And easier to do than say,
apparently, for me. And all you need to do is to dig, drop, and you're done. Spring flowering bulbs have just arrived from the Netherlands at Waddell's. A favorite that their bulb experts will recommend are the Pride Tulips. You'll love their huge blooms that are more showy than tulip bulbs you would normally find. Check out the other beauties this week at Waddell's: large yellow flowering King Alfred daffodils, early blooming snowdrops, and for a treat this fall, get some fall blooming crocus. For something unusual, check out the many variety of azaleas. And for something fragrant, choose several colors of hyacinths. Another easy to grow favorite is cilia. More bulbs include double flowering tulips, grape hyacinths, Spanish bluebells, and 20 varieties of narcissus and daffodils. Come browse the 300, yes, you heard me right, 300 varieties of spring flowering bulbs at Waddell's. Just dig, drop, and you're done. It's easy with help from your friends at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, Garden Center, and Bird Store on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th.
You and your wife, gardeners.
Wife is a gardener.
Is she?
Yes. I'm the birder. She's the, although she shares in a lot of her plantings are meant to attract birds and produce food. And so we are a cooperative effort. I supply the support.
Oh.
Verbal support.
You are good about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of my specialties.
It is.
I sit up on the deck and tell her what a good job she's doing and how beautiful the yard is while I sip an Oberon.
A person needs that.
Yes, yes, moral support. That's what I'm here for. We got time for questions.
Yeah, we sure do.
And we got open phone.
382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Got a question for Raj this morning. Let us hear from you.
And I had a call from a listener this week with an interesting sighting, but I'll be darned now. I meant to make a mental note so I could mention it this morning, and hopefully it'll come to me while we talk to Kathy out in Portage.
Yeah, hello, Kathy. Good morning.
Morning.
You're on the air.
Good morning, Roger.
Hi.
I called a couple weeks ago about odd behavior with a hummingbird. Well, now this time the question is about robins.
Okay.
I know that they remain in the area.
Mm-hmm. Lots of them do, yeah.
Yeah. And they don't flock together, do they?
Yes.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because I had the most unusual thing in my backyard I had never seen. I saw about 8 or 10 robins. And they were almost in a circular pattern, and I couldn't. And I don't know what they were doing. You know, they were just they'd move about to get all together, and it just struck me as really odd.
No, large robin flocks are common. Even the birds that don't migrate that far still join large flocks in the wintertime. And those local birds that remain are augmented by large flocks of robins from the north of here who come to here to spend the winter. And on occasion, if you're out cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, in the wintertime, you'll come upon very large flocks, hundreds of robins together. I would suggest that if you saw that few birds, that those are local birds still flocking, but they don't tend to accumulate in the very large numbers that migrating robins do. Safety in numbers and a number of reasons why birds naturally flock in the wintertime. But no, I'd have to say what you saw is not atypical. And they are done nesting for the year. And as that happens, the flocks begin to gain in size.
Well, when they migrate, the robins that do migrate, where do they go?
South. But
well,
not,
I figured that, Roger.
but not necessarily that far south. They go south to Kentucky, Tennessee, you know, clear down to the Gulf Coast, but robins are not a neotropical. They stay right in North America, and so they don't go to South America or Central America like the neotropical birds do, but they do go south, but not necessarily that far.
Okay, great. Well, thank you,
Roger. Oh, you bet. Thanks for listening, Kathy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Bye.
Thanks for the call, Kathy. Now we have Ellen in Vicksburg. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Good morning, Roger. How do researchers know for sure birds do what they do? Do they count those birds when they leave and count them when they get to Hawaii?
No.
How do they know all of them don't miss it?
There are undoubtedly some birds that do. and that do miss the islands, that misnavigate. I am certain that happens. And Mother Nature punishes mistakes sometimes harshly, and those birds don't survive. But that's how the instinct to do it right is bred into the species. Only the birds that do it correctly survive and are able to reproduce. And information on migration is accumulated in several ways, sometimes by just bird banding, and they will capture a bird that's been banded prior and know where they were banded and can figure out their flight path. More and more lately, there are small radio transmitters that can be attached to a bird that don't interfere with their ability to fly, and you can track a specific bird's flight path. And okay. So that's how we learn more and more. But, you know, there are still some bird species that we don't know where they go, either in the summer to breed or in the winter to survive before they return to their breeding territory. There are some birds whose destinations are still a mystery to us. We just don't know where they go.
You need some of those devices strapped on them.
Well, and I'm certain over time that will happen, but there's less and less money for research into these things.
There's less and less money for everything.
Ain't that the truth? And I'm certain at some point those mysteries that remain will be resolved, but right now they're a mystery. And, you know, we didn't know that hummingbirds really do migrate across the Gulf of Mexico until the late 90s, when a study done by Louisiana State University confirmed by standing out on oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico with very high-power handheld radar. And that's how it was finally confirmed that even a bird as common as a hummingbird actually migrates across the Gulf of Mexico.
Really?
Yeah. And so there's still a lot of mysteries out there.
Yes, there are.
Matter of fact, in the last few weeks, there were 10 to 12 new species of bird discovered in the Amazon that we didn't know even existed until now.
Honestly?
Yeah. Hey, thanks,
wow.
Ellen. Thanks for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You have one too, Roger.
Bye-bye now.
Birds.
All right.
That's going to do it for Birdwatch.
Sure is. Got some good calls. Time just flew by there.
No pun intended.
None. Thanks for listening to this edition of Birdwatch, and join us again next Saturday at 8 a.m. Birdwatch is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery Floral Garden and Bird Center at the corner of 12th Street and Millam Road, and by the River Lake Inn located near Colon. Coming up next, we'll get a look at our local news and weather. Then we'll go around the home with Greg Crawford on 590 WKZO.